Blessed be the one holy and living God.
Glory to God forever and ever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple, acceptable to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Genesis. God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, "Father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Please join in reading Psalm 13 antiphonally by whole verse. Those sitting on the lector side will read the verses in bold, and those sitting on the choir side will read the verses not in bold. How long, O God, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?
How long shall I have perplexity in my mind and grief in my heart day after day? How long shall my enemy triumph over me?
Look upon me and answer me, O God, my God. Give light to my eyes, lest I sleep in death.
Lest my enemies say, "I have prevailed over them," and my foes rejoice that I have fallen.
But I put my trust in your mercy. My heart is joyful because of your saving help.
I will sing to the Holy One who has dealt with me richly. I will praise the name of God Most High.
A reading from the letter to the Romans. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members of God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you have once been slaves of sin, having become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
We are fear without terror, God, and we are. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning. Please be seated. Y'all are lucky I forgot that the first service. Hello, my name is James Hofbruckner. I've been at St. Martin's for the past couple of years now, and you may have seen me dabbling in everything from acolyting to convention to choir, and I guess now preaching. As you may have guessed, either from the announcements or that I've been here suspiciously long for a college student, this is my senior sermon, and soon I'll be heading off to Argentina and Uruguay to do a service year with the ELCA's Young Adult and Global Mission Program. As with any major, or sometimes quite minor, changes in life, I feel like I'm on the edge of a cliff and have to leap to the other side. One could call it a leap of faith. Some of you may know that the term leap of faith is attributed to the Danish philosopher and theologian Søren Kierkegaard, and is used in many of his works, including Fear and Trembling. I know, not the type of title you want to hear when considering leaps of faith. Now, when I think of a leap of faith, my mind instantly goes to Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, where Jones encounters an apparent chasm on his way to find the Holy Grail, with no way to the other side. Jones, realizing there must be a hidden pathway he cannot see, leaps, or somewhat steps tentatively, if you've seen the movie, into the void and stumbles on a pathway. However, the literal leap slash step Indiana Jones takes is not what Kierkegaard meant when he said a leap of faith. It is not using faith to justify an action, but it is instead the transition from a rational belief using reasoning to a radical acceptance of something that is not provable using any rationality or reasoning. A change in thinking that could only be described as a leap. In summary, it is not really a leap of faith, but more so a leap into faith. Back to Indiana Jones for a moment. Indiana did have a leap into faith. However, it wasn't the actual step. Instead, it was in the moments before where he accepted he must trust himself against all of his senses and all of his reasoning. Since Kierkegaard was around in the 19th century, he unfortunately didn't talk about Indiana Jones in his extended meditations. Instead, he used the next best thing, the Binding of Isaac. Kierkegaard starts off his extended meditation, Fear and Trembling, by retelling the story of the Binding of Isaac four different times. In each of the times, Kierkegaard modifies something so that the story goes awry. The first modification is that Isaac finds out earlier than he's supposed to that he is going to be what is sacrificed, and pleads with his father to spare him. To ensure that Isaac doesn't lose faith in God, Abraham pretends to have a psychotic break and tells Isaac that this sacrifice is of his own will. The second is that the story goes on as normal, but Abraham is seized by an intense guilt that he was willing to sacrifice his own son to God and lives haunted for the rest of his life. In the third variation, Abraham decides it was wrong for him to be willing to have sacrificed his son and repents to God, but also second guesses his repentance, creating an insecurity of what was actually the right thing to do. Finally, the last retelling, which I personally feel is the most realistic, Abraham raises the knife, but instead, with a hopeful countenance, is distressed by despair and fear. As a result, Isaac loses faith, no longer comforted by his father's demeanor, and they never speak of the event again. In each of these scenarios, Abraham feels more tangible, more realistic, but it also loses the core component of the story, Abraham's genuine faith and the absurdity that it is. And I truly mean that Abraham's faith is absurd, and honestly, the whole story is. Abraham doesn't try to negotiate with God like he did at Sodom and Gomorrah. He doesn't weep, doesn't complain, and even though he is about to kill his son, his most beloved, the thing which God had promised him, he seems calm and even hopeful. For me, it is so much more understandable for Abraham to go insane with that type of request than for him to go about it in the way that he did, especially since God didn't even say that Isaac would survive. What Kierkegaard believes was going on in Abraham's mind is that he held two beliefs simultaneously together. The first, that Isaac would die and that he would kill him. After all, it's pretty sound reasoning that knife plus flesh does not usually end up well. However, the second belief, which Kierkegaard believes was truly remarkable and truly different, was that somehow he would be restored, that his son would either be returned to him or not die, even though God makes no such promise in his request. Abraham could not have come to hold that belief through any reasoning or logical thinking, and that is what Kierkegaard says is the leap of faith. Not resignation, not obedience to God, but jumping from a state of rationality to a state of radical belief, regardless of the facts. And that's what makes Abraham so incomprehensible, but also so admirable. I think this drastic jump is reflected excellently in our psalm for today, Psalm 13. Psalm 13 is a very short psalm, with the first four stanzas being that of abandonment and lament. However, the last two lines suddenly jump to that of reassurance and trust in God, seen in a leap into faith. Now, let me tell you, if you've ever actually jumped off a cliff, or anything for that matter, at least my brain goes, oh shoot, this is crazy, I'm not gonna do that. Okay, I can do it, jump. It's the transition that gives you the strength to jump, and I see that transition in this psalm. So how do we make these leaps into faith? Well, I nor Kierkegaard can tell you that, but I would like to point out that we practice it a lot more than we think. For example, I feel that college was a big leap into faith for me. I had no certainty what college would be the best fit for me, if I would find my community, succeed, or even just be happy. And yet, I felt myself change for a moment and stopped thinking so hard and sent in my application to Davis, well, and my acceptance to Davis. I'd even say that living a meaningful life, or a life that's at least personally appealing to me, is a leap of faith, or at least requires them constantly. You do not know if you will die today or tomorrow or in 10 years, and yet we still get up in the morning and live and commit ourselves to things that won't fully be realized for years upon years. In a life that is appealing to me, we don't do this with infinite resignation or obligation, but instead with the belief that this day will be worth living and that in the long term, this act will be worth it. This calls the mind, the verse, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Now, I have done a lot of rejoicing these past couple of weeks, especially after my last finals were completed. However, now I have to leap again, and I'm both so excited and also a little terrified. However, I just want to take a moment and thank St. Martin's and everyone who makes this community the community that it is. St. Martin's has been a great landing after the leap of college, and I am really so, so grateful. Like, when I look back at my college adventure and journey, St. Martin's is one of my favorite things about it. And that doesn't just happen by a church existing. That happens because of the people in the church. And so thank you really just so, so much. It has truly been an honor to worship here the past couple of years and participate. And I really do love you guys. And I'm really sad to go, but it is time. But I know for a fact that I'll be back in some capacity. Probably not in the next couple of months because I'll be in Argentina and Uruguay. But definitely in the future. So in the moment of quiet, as we leave from the time of me talking, I want y'all to both reflect on my words, but also my gratitude, and also the gratitude we all have towards each other. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, the incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace and with courage, let us pray to the Lord.
God of relationship, you come to us as three in one and one in three, reaching each of us where we are. Empower the leaders of our church to counteract cultural norms of fear, abuse, and disdain for those who are different, instead rejoicing in the gift of our diversity. Let this Pride Month encourage us to expand our hospitality, to speak out against injustice and discriminatory legislation, and to become bold change makers. We commit ourselves to the work ahead, looking to your example through Christ. Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace, God of Ruth and Naomi, you bring us out of our homelands into new and unknown realities. You are determined to accompany us, never leaving us alone. As people around the world cross borders and boundaries to be with those they love, remind us all of our home in your family. We pray especially for those who are separated from their loved ones by distance, hostile borders, prison cells, or estrangement, that they may be safely and joyfully reunited in this lifetime or in your kingdom. Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace, God of Joseph, you dress us in coats of many colors. Remind us of the beauty of our uniqueness and the belovedness of our bodies and of all creation. Give us new eyes to see each other and ourselves as you see us, holy and whole. We pray especially for those who are discerning and discovering who they are and who they are becoming, that your love would guide their way. Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace, God of Rehob and Esther, you have called us to act in times of crisis and civil unrest. Embolden us, even when we are afraid, even when we do not have confidence in our own power, to move courageously towards the world we know is possible. We thank you for the leaders, activists, prophets, teachers, mentors, artists, and architects of liberation, those who have seen the fruits of their labor, and those who need us to continue their work. Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace, God of the unnamed, you know and love each of your children, whether or not their names and struggles are known to us. We long to care for those who suffer in silence, unwilling and unable to seek help. Inspire us to reach beyond ourselves to invite all our neighbors into the family of God. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace, God of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, you draw us out of death into life. Free us from the bondage of fear that we might fully live as your beloved children. We pray especially for those who we love, who have died, whose absence is keenly felt. We know they will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace,
God, our rock and refuge, keep us safe in your care and strengthen us with your grace, that we may pray to you faithfully and love one another boldly, following the example of Jesus, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives forever and ever.
Amen. Let us confess our sins to God.
God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of Christ be always with you.
Amen.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you here. And we have on our yellow sheet lots and lots of announcements. I will not make all of those. I wanted to actually start by welcoming James back up before he sits down. Because, yes, let's give him a hand. And come forward and give us your pitch. We want to hear from you.
Hello. Probably for the fourth or fifth time today, you'll hear that my name is James Hochrichner. I guess next I'll teach you all how to spell it. No, I'm joking. So a little bit about me. As I mentioned earlier, I've been around St. Martin's for a couple of years now. I've also worked at the Belfry as the peer minister for 2 years. However, I just graduated from UC Davis with 2 degrees, one in ecology, one in philosophy. I think you can guess which one I know Kierkegaard from. So that's a little bit about me. The program that I'm doing next year is called YAGM, Young Adults in Global Mission, and is sponsored by the ELCA. And so a little bit about YAGM is it's a program for young adults ages 21 to 35. Yes, if you're 35, congratulations, you are a young adult. And the purpose of the program is to go across the world and build new relationships and strengthen old relationships. And these relationships are between churches, between communities, and also ultimately international relations as well. Placements vary from doing environmental stewardship to working in community centers to also working in women's shelters. One of the requirements of YAGM is for its volunteers to practice fundraising. And this is for 2 major reasons. One, it's good practice for any work in nonprofits, ministry, and humanitarian work. If you've ever worked in one of those sectors, you know that fundraising is number one part of your job. The second reason is also to put some skin in the game, right? I'm not just going and getting everything paid for, right? I want to put some skin in, and they also require it. But it's also nice that I want to do it as well. And so I'm sure this is the part of a lot of elevator pitches or fundraising talks called the statistics portion, where I have a presentation, I go, this is how many people we've helped. However, with building relations, I could get you those statistics, but it's also hard to guarantee that sort of thing. And truthfully, it'd be unfair to guarantee it to y'all, and it'd be unfair to expect it of myself. Yeah. I am going to a totally new countries, Argentina and Uruguay, and there will be so many things out of my control. However, what I can guarantee is that when the people in those communities think of an Episcopalian, a Lutheran, a young adult, an American, they will think of someone who is kind, honest, and genuine. And so that's what I bring to the table. Now, as you kind of tell, I love talking about this program. However, I don't want to take forever. So if you'd like to talk more about this program or about me, I know I'm the expert in myself after all, please come see me after service. I have business cards, I have flyers. On the yellow sheet, there's also more information as well as information on my newsletter and how to donate. And just to highlight the newsletter real quick, I plan to put a lot of work in it, not only about what I'm doing, but also some games. So you better know where Buenos Aires is after reading my newsletters. Anyways, thank you so much for having me, for letting me talk 2 times during the service. And yeah, thank you so much.
I can definitely guarantee that the people you work with will meet somebody who is kind and genuine and hardworking. So I hope we can do all in our power to support you and sign up for your newsletter and follow your adventure and your journey. I wanted to also this morning welcome our guest musician, Shirley. There's a whole, yes, please. There's a little bit of information about her here in your yellow sheet, as well as just several other things going on. Like I said, I won't go into all of them, but there are two things today, this afternoon, that are happening. The Celebration of Abraham is meeting at Grace Garden at 1:30, and there's a screening of the movie 1946 at Davis Community Church at 3:30. Those both look like really interesting opportunities. We also have a place at the table this afternoon, and we had one person who was signed up who can't make it, so there is one extra opening. If you are interested in coming to that at 5, just come talk to me and I'll let you know the details. Other things that are going on, beginning next Sunday for the whole month of July, we will have one morning service at 10 o'clock. So if you're a 10 o'clocker, if you're used to coming to this service, no change. And then we're also starting to add in some things, kind of experimenting with a couple of evening services. And so there's going to be a Bible study. There's just lots of different stuff going on during the summer. So I really hope you'll take a look at that. If you're not getting our email on Fridays, you'll want to sign up for that because there's more information in there. Speaking of that, I see that our ushers are here with their blue welcome bags, our goodie bags. And so if you're new here, if you haven't been here before, or if it's been a while, you might want to raise your hand so that we know that you're a visitor or a newcomer and we can bring you a goodie bag. We will not try to embarrass you in any way, make you introduce yourself. We just want to be able to offer this to you. So, oh, well, there's contact information and there's a copy of our newsletter, well, our magazine, but even more than that, there is chocolate. So, you know, it's always a good idea to raise your hand and take one of those. Anyway, there's lots more in the yellow sheet, lots of good things going on, and we have service opportunities. We're going to be having fellowship opportunities. Next Sunday, we have a guest preacher that many of you know from his past visits here, Mike Kinman. He's going to be preaching. He's giving a great talk afterwards about Thistle Farms. So I hope people will stick around for that. And I think that's all except for we have a bunch of celebrations and milestones.
We have a bunch of celebrations and milestones. It's that season. So we have birthdays and anniversaries. And these are just the ones I know about. I'll bet there are more out there. So birthdays, Evelyn Juan Gaspar, Manuela Mateo, Carla Harris, Susan Stone, and Mae Barnes are either celebrating birthdays this coming week or celebrated them last week.
Okay.
And then anniversaries, Janet Lane and Bob Holmes celebrated their 19th, and Jim and Sharon Olchin celebrating their 42nd.
So wow. Congratulations. So we have many, many birthdays and a couple of exciting anniversaries. Yes.
I married my husband, Russ Bruch, on June 30th, 1973.
Oh, it's an anniversary or an anniversary remembrance. Kathleen. It is. Yes. If you didn't hear, my daughter said that my birthday is coming up here. Happy birthday, all these summer babies. Susan. Oh, yes, I remember it well. Another anniversary, yes. Ah, all right. Wow, okay. We have a lot. It's your brother's birthday. Okay, we have so much to celebrate. Wait, Ernie's pointing in the, yes. Wow, another anniversary. All right. Okay. I think we got it. At least we have enough that we can say our celebrations and milestones prayer, which is on page 5. of your bulletin, and we say this prayer together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have communion around the altar rail today. You come forward and an usher will point you in the right direction when it's time to gather around the rail. You can kneel, you can stand. The communion bread will be handed to you if you put your hand out for it, and then you can either consume it right away and wait for the chalice to come by to sip the wine, or you can leave it in your hand, and that means that the Eucharistic minister will intinct it for you and hand it back to you. Either is completely okay. You can also cross your arms, indicating you don't want to receive at this time, but you're coming forward for a prayer or a blessing. Our communion bread is gluten-free, it is vegan, it is homemade, and everyone is welcome to come to the table. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the creation. Your spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being, sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again, you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. Honor and praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine, and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your spirit upon these gifts that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with blessed Martin and all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation, to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen. And now first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Alleluia! Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia!
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Hear, O my Lord.
Please rise for the post-communion prayer. Let us pray. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter and Advocate, bless you and keep you in eternal love.
Amen.
To love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.